here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning there, folks. I suppose it's somewhat appropriate that I got a fireball in my mouth this morning. I threw one of those babies in my mouth before I came down the steps because I'm on fire today. Hey, Jared, I got that chart up on my screen. I don't know if you can knock that thing off for me there. You had a great weekend. Always have great weekends. Most of America's been in, what's the word? No. It snowed in a lot of places in America. It snowed some places where it hadn't. In fact, I saw Big Rich. I saw they had snow down in Port Arthur. Can you believe that they'd have snow that far down there? And I just talked to the Silver Man. He said it didn't rain up by. He's in northern Texas. Figure that out for me. Rains and snows in southern Texas down on the coast and not in northern Texas. Seems to me it's backwards. And they had that blizzard up there where surges up there in Buffalo pounded what? Foot of snow or something like that. Snow down in Larry. Did you get some snow down there in Turtle Beach, Larry? Didn't hit you down there, right? Hit North Carolina. People screaming, huh? What's going on? What's going on with all this? Anyway, snowflakes everywhere, Mark Trump says. Snowflakes everywhere. By the way, I want to give a tip of the cap while I'm thinking of it. Mark, we're going to have you back on. I listened to you on JR's show on Saturday. It was good, very good. Well, I had trouble getting in. That's another issue. But when you finally, I got you on there, Mark. And folks, Mark has done some research on his own now into Bitcoin. I kind of wetted his whistle a little bit on Bitcoin. Being the data guy that he is and the cyber guy that he is, he began to do a little bit more research on that. And it's amazing the number of emails and stuff I've received over the weekend. Hey, what about that Bitcoin? Listen, I'm not an expert about it, right? Thank God I heard from Steve Mencken. Steve Mencken's been doing a lot of research on it too. So we're going to do a show here in the next couple of days as I get it lined up a little bit on Bitcoin and how that, dare I say it, how that attaches to the New World Order. Okay. Cause there's something, what do you think, Mark? Something crazy going on there, right, brother? It's more than just monetary system here, this Bitcoin thing.
Yeah, it's all part of it. It's just a component of the AI future. It's called the AI. Bitcoin is just using what they call cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is one cryptocurrency which feeds into the AI marketplace, and I think that's where it fits in that future. And it fits because in verse 17 or so of actually, it's the end of Revelation 13 where it talks about we all must have this mark in order to buy or sell. So mm-hmm. I think it's all part of that specific thing brought out in Revelations.
Yeah, and so we're going to have, even though we currently, you think about what's going on, I don't want to get bogged down on this, folks, but I think this is important so that you can understand it. Right now in America, in the world, actually, the world currency, the world reserve currency, the currency that everybody recognizes is the dollar. Now, we know this, don't we? Tell me you've listened to this show long enough to know that the dollar is no good, right? Tell me you understand that, right? The dollar's just based on the full faith and value of the U.S. government, whatever the heck that means. Money to the elite is meaningless. The money to the elite is meaningless. They understand it has no meaning at all. It's just a means of trade, barter, and trade for little folks like us. We fight our whole lives to accumulate these dollars. And the media, they laugh. Like, we just found out that the government spent $21 trillion without anybody's approval. Did you guys see that? That's not one of the issues I'm bringing up today. And we know that for at least since 1973 on the Gulf oil embargo in 73, that was a switchover to what they call the petrodollar. In other words, if you wanted to buy oil any place in the world, you had to use dollars. The value of oil, of the dollar, of oil was pegged to the U.S. dollar. So when you went to the Middle East and you wanted to buy oil, you had to buy it in dollars, American dollars, petrodollars. That whole system's coming apart now. It's all coming apart. There's a move by China, Korea, some others to go back to gold and silver. The elites have to do everything they can to prevent that from happening because there just isn't enough gold and silver. And so this whole thing is, we have to come up with some form of currency, barter, tradable currency that everybody recognizes. Bitcoin seems to be the hottest thing right now because it appears to be uncontrollable. In other words, no one group can come in. The Fed can't come in and take control of Bitcoin. We're in a global economy and everything. But the reality of it is, Bitcoin isn't really worth it. You talk about the ultimate being based on nothing. That's the Bitcoin. But also, the American dollar is based on nothing. There is nothing backing the American dollar other than the government says it's good. That's the only thing. See, we used to be on the gold standard, silver certificate. I don't want to get bogged down on that. But there's something really, really big going on, and this is all, in my most humble opinion, playing into it. Anybody have anything they want to throw out on the, any red meat they want to throw out there before I jump into some red meat that I've been pondering over the last couple of days? No? Yes?
Well, I can tell you that Roy Moore is going to have a landslide tomorrow. That's what I can say. It's going to be fantastic.
Vinny, I was looking for something today because I don't know if you guys know this or not. Drudge Report has been particularly harsh to Judge Moore, particularly harsh. In fact, they've got something up there this morning again about him not disappearing from the campaign trail. Drudge Report has been really, really bad on him. Did you guys know that Matt Drudge is a homosexual? Now, he denies it, but it's pretty well known inside the circles that Matt Drudge is a homosexual. So, again, well, who we get the news from? Right Wing Watch is probably going to pick this one. Hey, guys, Right Wing Watch, do a little research on that and see if that's true about Matt Drudge, because I believe it is. So Matt Drudge, even though we think we're getting the scoop from Matt Drudge, it's everything. Understand that everything goes through a funnel. Everything goes through a filter. Every bit of news that you get goes through a filter and a funnel. And we all love to go to the Drudge Report because Matt Drudge, they tell us, is a conservative. Well, he is, and I've warned you, conservative and Christian are not the same, because you will never find a more conservative candidate than Roy Moore. But see, Roy Moore is a Christian. They don't want Christians. They want conservatives. Pretend so. So again, one of the guys we think's on our team, Drudge, well, he is a conservative. He's not a Christian. Pretend so. Those two things aren't the same. Anything else? Anybody? Google Matt Drudge. Google him if you think I'm wrong. Google Matt Drudge. Got my shirt on today. Protect the flock with a Glock. Still got a few of them left. If you'd like to get one, you can find those at CoachDaveLive.com just for a little bit of a donation. I got to show you this. Because, Vince, you brought it up regarding Judge Roy Moore, who I agree. Let's stop a minute. Do you know that I've got a couple? This blessed my socks off. This just blessed my socks off. Richard Rapp, you guys don't know Richard Rapp. Richard Rapp is from Marysville, Ohio. It's just up the road from me. He contacted me the other day, wanted to know if anybody was doing anything to help Judge Roy Moore down there. And I have friends down there who are helping Judge Moore right now, if it is. And Richard Rapp, you're down there now, Ray? Ray LeBlanc's down there. Richard Rapp jumped in his car this weekend and drove to Alabama to be able to help Judge Moore. Richard's one of the Salt and Light Brigade guys. You know what's really pumping me up? They're waiting for me to tell him to go. He just says, "Now I got to go." And Ray's down there. Nobody told Ray to go. This is what I envision the Salt and Light Brigade being and doing. People gone and gone and gone. And there are people down there. I know a lot of people down there on the ground. They're working hard. And Judge Roy Moore is going to win by a significant amount. So I haven't been as panicked as what everybody has been, although they're trying to cheat and lie and steal and all that kind of stuff. They ain't gonna pull it over. I got to show you this, Jared. Click on this is the battle, Jared. Click on the last thing we have down there. It says Judge Moore. This is out of what they call the Yellowhammer News. The Yellowhammer News, and this just shows you what we're up against. Okay, folks. So God bless Judge Roy Moore. Look at this. This is in the Yellowhammer News. Yellowhammer News is a paper down in Alabama. And I want you to think about what this says. J. Pepper Byers Some writer in the Washington Post asked, what's the matter with Alabama? See, the rest of the world, no, the rest of America doesn't understand godly values. There's still a semblance of godliness in the South, just semblance of it. And they don't understand it. They think there's something wrong with Christians. Jared, scroll down here, because I want you to see what Judge Moore responded to this ad with his own ad. Keep on going down, Jared. And here's five things that Judge Moore said. right there, Jared. Here's part of the script that Judge Ray Moore said. They call us warmongers for wanting to rebuild the military, Judge Moore says. They call us racist for securing our borders. They call us bigots for recognizing the sanctity of marriage. And they call us foolish for believing in God. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it, boys? That is it in a nutshell. And so the Washington establishment, they've done everything that they can to undermine, remember, rules for radicals, make us live up to our own standards. They've done everything that they could to make Christians reject Judge Moore over sexual harassment or whatever it was. They've done everything they could do. And luckily, people are beginning to understand what's going on. And Frank Luntz had a panel the other day of 8 or 10 people on it. He couldn't believe they all supported Judge Roy Moore. See, those who do not carry the name of Christ do not understand. They don't understand it. So we pray for Judge Moore. And I said to my Michelle this morning, so man, it's all going to be over for him on Wednesday. And then I thought, no, it's just starting. It's going to be starting for Judge Moore. I'm heading someplace today. I'm trying to do some cleaning up here real quickly. Some stuff I think is important for us here on a Monday morning. Some things have been percolating in the back of my mind that I haven't really had the chance to share yet. Anybody any more comments on Judge Moore? Cause I'm moving in a different direction. Oh, I got to say this. I got two homo websites that are mad at me because I made the offhanded, really wasn't offhanded. I made the comment on the Friday show. I think it was Friday. Could have been on Thursday, where I made the comment that GMOs was impacting the DNA and that possibly GMOs and what we're eating and what we're ingesting could be responsible for some of the rise in homosexuality. You guys remember me saying that? And all this gender dysphoria and all this gender confusion. Well, I made the homos mad. I made them mad. Actually, the homos ought to be happy because really what I was doing was giving them an excuse for their sin. They want to look into the Bible and find that it's okay. They can't find it in the Bible, so therefore they reject the Bible and they go to phony science and phony science tells them it's okay. And then when I point out something that's basically scientific and would help them, they didn't like it. But I thought it would be important since the homos have been after me this weekend. I figured, Vince, I might as well give them a little bit more ammo. And Jared, if you would, click right there and it says homosex. Homosex. One thing you can say about this show, one thing I hope that you always be able to say about me that you know about me is I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to call them as I see them. And I'm not going to back down. So I found this today. Isn't it amazing how these things just show up in your inbox? This comes from, what's it come from, Jared? The CDC.gov. Centers for Disease Control.gov. Okay? Government. And we know the government. We know how politically correct the government is, right? Look here. This is some fast facts from the government regarding those, gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men account for 70% of new HIV infections in the United States. You have this? 70% of all HIV infections are coming from men who have sex with men. And what are they teaching our kids in school to do? That this is normal. This is good. This is love, right? Can't smoke a cigarette. Huh? Just say no to drugs. Say no. Just say no. Just say no. Just say no. But say yes to sodomy. And 70% of the new infections. This is from the government. Then some right-wing organization. Number two. New HIV infections among gay and bisexual men overall remain stable in recent years. Can I ask you something? If you're born gay, are you born bisexual? Let that sink in a minute. They want to tell us that they're born gay, yet they're bisexual. Seems to me like they're confused. Seems to me like the Bible says that the double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Number three, more than 600,000 gay and bisexual men are living with HIV in the United States. 600,000 gay and bisexual double-minded men. 600,000 have AIDS, okay? Let's go down here a second. 2014, gay and bisexual men made up an estimation 2% of the population. Only 2% of Americans are gay and bisexual. Guys, will you let that thing? Who is driving the agenda? Oh, that's what I want to get into. Who's driving the agenda? 2% of gay and bisexual men, 2% of the population. Two. But they accounted for 70% of the new infection. I know the homos are like, I know right-wing watch will put this up because they love science, right? They love science. This is from CDC. Approximately 492,000 sexually active gay and bisexual men are at high risk for HIV. However, we have more tools to prevent HIV than ever. I know the best tool to prevent it. Keep your penis out of the anus. We'll show you that here in a second. That's the best way to prevent it, okay? But keep your penis out of the anus. HIV infections. Let's go on down, Jared. In 2004, gay and bisexual men account for estimated 70% of the new HIVs. They're only 2% of the population, right? And then it shows that it's declined here. I want to go down a second. I'm going to go down to the next one, Jared. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. Okay, there you go. Stay right there, Jared. Look at this. Right Wing Watch will love this. In 2015, gay and bisexual men accounted for 82% of all new HIV diagnoses among all males. 82%. 13 and older, and 67% of the total new diagnoses in the United States. Let that sink in. That's 2% of the people, 82% of the HIVs. See, the gays are so mad at me right now. They love science when they get to create the science. Number two, gay and bisexual men aged 13 to 24 account for 92% of all new HIV diagnoses among men in the age group, 27% of new diagnoses among all gay and bisexual men. Oh, Lord, huh? Oh, man. Look at this chart, Jared. HIV diagnosis among the most affected subpopulations. Black, and that's men having sex with men. 10,315. White having sex. There it is. There's your breakdown. There's your living breakdown. Scroll down one more thing I want to share, Jared, because I don't want to get bogged down on this, although I already am. Okay, prevention challenges. You ready, guys? You ready? A much higher proportion of gay, hey, fellas, this isn't the right wing. This is the Center for Disease Control. A much higher proportion of gay and bisexual men are living with HIV compared to other groups in the United States. Therefore, gay bisexual men have an increased chance of having an HIV-positive partner. 1 in 6 gay and bisexual men living with HIV are unaware of it. 1 in 6 don't even know they have it. Most gay and bisexual men get HIV. Are you ready, guys? Most gay and bisexual men get HIV through having anal sex without condoms. Or medicines to prevent or treat HIV. I don't even know how that works. But look at this. Anal sex is the riskiest type of sex for getting or transmitting HIV. Receptive anal sex is 13 times as risky for getting AIDS as insertive anal sex. In other words, if you are the one receiving the sausage, you're 13 times higher chance of getting it. Look at the bottom. Homophobia, stigma, and discrimination may place gay bisexual men at risk for multiple physical and mental problems and affect whether they take proactive actions with their partners or seek and are able to obtain high quality health services. All right, we can get that out of there. That's for all you boys out there that think that I'm picking on the homos. Hey, keep the sausage out of the anus. This is not hard. This is from the CDC. All right? Is that too crude, fellas? Am I sounding too crude here this morning?
That's a very technical term you use, Coach.
Yeah. Well, hey, Benny, I try to break it down so people can understand it, right? Let's just make it simple, right? Let's just make it simple.
Hey, Coach, it's kind of a hard subject to go over.
Well, Shame on all of you guys. I'm tired of all of you guys. Okay, listen. Let's shift. Let's shift gears.
Too long on it.
I'm gonna. Hey, you ain't Jay Leno. Those of you who think you're Jay Leno, stop it right now. All right. I'm gonna jump into something here, because I got this yesterday too. I mean, I hate this. I hate it when I say something to people and they look at me and they give me that crazy look. It happened to me again when I said something is wrong with the firefight, with the fires out in California. Something is wrong. What is going on? Jared, click on my Facebook page there. Now, direct energy weapon. Have you guys heard of those? Direct energy weaponry. Well, most of us haven't even heard of it. Direct energy weaponry. Well, what does that mean? Well, an impulse is sent. Boom. It's like a microwave.
Hey, Coach.
Okay, Jared. Yes.
So you know what an EMP is? An EMP is a what you call an electromagnetic pulse. It's usually an omnidirectional pulse from like a bomb or some sort of huge discharge. Well, if you put an antenna reflector behind it, you'll have a focus
energy. There, George, you're there.
So you can use microwave or you can use laser or anything like that. You're exactly right.
It's stuff we don't understand, right? Jared, click on that picture. I posted this to say today. It says, do you notice anything strange in these pictures? I hope you guys can see it, okay? This was a Hooters, maybe. I could be wrong. This is a concrete building. What was it, Jared? Applebee's. This is a concrete building, okay, in this fire that has taken place, that's just happened in California for the second time. Now, I'm just wondering if anybody who looks at this picture notices what I notice. Does anybody notice anything?
The trees next to the sidewalk are just perfectly fine. If that was on fire, they'd be all burned up.
The trees aren't even burnt. Jared, click to the next picture.
The laser sensed.
Look at these. Look at these trees. Oh, wait, we're not done yet. You tell me something's not crazy going on. You call me tinfoil hat. The sign isn't even burnt. Go ahead, Jared. Click another one. Look at the trees. Click another one. Look at the trees. What is going on? What is going on?
That looked like a wooden gate on that building.
This is like unbelievable. Is this unbelievable? Look, those trees are green. They're still green. Next picture, Jared.
Look at the buildings. I mean, the buildings in the whole area. Look at them.
All the buildings.
One, two, three buildings. And everything else around them is fine.
Here's a good thing. Whoever moves in there next won't have to plant any trees.
Look at the tree on the corner. It's singed on the leaves.
Didn't you hear? This is the new wood. This is a SHW word. It doesn't burn.
Go through those again, Jared. I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but you tell me something crazy isn't going on. Now, I can take you deeper into this because I've done some research on this summer or this weekend. But you tell me what you see there.
What do you see?
Hey, Roger. Jared, go to the next picture. Can somebody tell me how the fire got from that one building to the next building without catching a tree on fire?
Yeah, that's a direct energy wave for sure.
That's
a Photoshop.
You think it's Photoshopped? No. Weapon. No.
I would like to interject a possible thing going on. Those were businesses whose owners had really good insurance, and they saw it as an opportunity to manipulate the system and to make some money.
Bingo.
That's what I mean. You guys are looking at this wrong. You're looking at them buildings were raptured.
They were raptured. Rich, that's the greatest one in 2 years of doing this show. That's the greatest one. They raptured the buildings. That's it. Okay, we can get off of that.
Okay, I want to know if a Hooters was one of those buildings, Rare.
Oh, Lord. See, once you put on a tinfoil hat and once you start going down into the, oh my goodness, my good. I don't know. Okay, let me show you another one that's coming. Rush Limbaugh wrote a book, See, I Told You So. Remember that? See, I Told You So. Well, I got a See, I Told You So. You ready? I told you all of these sexual harassments, all of them, Franken, they're about Trump. They're about getting Trump. They tried to get Roy Moore on it, but ultimately they want to get Donald Trump. Oh, they laughed at me. Oh, yeah, yeah, go, yeah. Tinfoil hat, go. Jared, click on coming after Trump. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for the internet. Look at this. I think this is Twitter. I'm not sure. CBS News. New! Women who have publicly accused President Trump of sexual harassment and assault will speak at a news conference hosted Monday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The women are calling for an investigation by Congress of sexual misconduct by the president. There we are, boys. And see, Christians are so stupid that they wanted to help the left get Judge Moore. The Christians wanted to help the left get Judge Moore. Because if they could get Judge Moore, well, now they got a better way to get Trump. Right? It's amazing. It is really, really amazing what's going on. Hey, by the way, guys, last I checked, somebody helped me out. Larry, Roger, you're an attorney. Roger, is sexual harassment a crime? I mean, is it punishable for a time in jail for sexual harassment?
Well, it would be called things like gross sexual imposition or something, or grabbing my booty.
Is that jail time?
For a GSI, you can get jail time, but the concept of sexual harassment is more of a civil thing within the employment area, I believe.
Yeah. And how do you defend yourself against that? See, boys, that left is never, ever given up. What else do I have? What other thing before I get into what else I want to talk about? Oh, Jared. Jared, click on Satan's Five Servants on Earth. This is from Dave Hodges. Mark, this will interest you because I'm going to get into the scriptures here in a minute. Hang with me, okay? Satan's Five, this is from Dave Hodges. Mark, this has to do with the artificial intelligence and the internet and Bitcoin. It's all connected together. And here's what Dave Hodges, this is very, very short. I don't know if you guys listened to him on the Common Sense show. Dave's got a great show. Says the planet's being taken over by some evil, nefarious forces. The takeover of the planet is not the final end game by these forces. The end game is to reduce the population to a more manageable level and to destroy the soul of every human being on the planet. The conflict humanity finds itself embroiled in is cleverly disguised. The forces of evil that are taking over this planet are using our greed and avariciousness against us. So the NSA training protocol framed the present war on humanity. So Dave says there is a war going on in the cosmos between good and evil for a very long time. We've been saying that, right? There's a battle in the heavenlies, seed of the serpent and seed of the woman. The goal of this war is the control of every person's soul for all eternity. Three, the dark side, as we call them, I call them Satan's followers, cannot crack the code of the soul. Therefore, they have turned their attention to destroying the basic concept of what a human being is. You get this, guys? Don't miss this. They're now trying to redefine what a human being is. So if Satan's forces cannot control the soul, they will morph the vessel carrying the soul. This entails the embodiment of every perversion of a human being to our gender identity, to our combining humans with artificial intelligence, transgenderism, etc. Vance told me these facts in 1993. When transhumanism came on the scene, I quickly recognized these perversions of creation for what they were, the works of the devil. Stay with me, gone somewhere. It's generally agreed upon that the mark of the beast, 666, will be the final tool of enslavement whereby one cannot buy, sell, or conduct business of any type without this mark. And there it says in Revelation, and Mark Trump showed it. So here's the match game, okay? We're not going to play this match game, but here's what he wants you. Here's what he wants you to understand. The following will test your basic knowledge of monopolies that are quickly engulfing the planet. These are monopolies that have no competition, and as a result, you will soon have no choice related to the procurement of your best resources. More on that later. So here are the five corporations that the devil is using. No competition. They are monopolies, and they're controlling everything people think and do. Twitter, Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple. Those are the five weapons. Do you know that Amazon right now, Amazon is working on delivering groceries? Because if they can do away with Kroger's and they control where you get your food, they have total and complete control of it. You do know this, don't you, that Amazon is destroying all brick and mortar shopping in America. People still like to shop. Women go shopping. And then they go home and buy it cheaper on Amazon. Yeah, Mark.
On that note, I have a friend who works at Walmart, and guess what Walmart is doing based on what you're just saying?
What's that?
Yes. They're getting ready to deliver groceries. They're getting ready to set up an online web center where you just order and they deliver somehow.
Nice. Hey, I'm just curious. When's the last time you had a sermon on this in your church? Wonder how many people sitting in church are even thinking this way. Yeah, Rod.
Well, my question about, you know, the profit margin for a grocery store is, I think it's 1 or 2% at best. How in the world are they making any money adding a delivery system? There's got to be something deeper than that concept, because you can't make money delivering groceries.
Okay. Coach?
Yeah.
As you were reading, I believe that was Revelation there, Number of the Beast.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had this epiphany. Well, if W is the character in Hebrew for 6, and the internet is www, wouldn't that mean 666?
Will you stop that? Will you stop that?
And the Number of the Beast being your ISPN number? Would that be the connection that we're looking at here?
Oh, boy.
Let me get my tinfoil hat back on.
We're going to be raptured out here anyway, aren't we, Rich? It isn't going to matter to us. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just getting my tinfoil hat. That's a great point. That's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So look at these five questions Hodges has up here. Oh, I got to get rolling here. To comment, Dave, this is a multiple choice. Are you filling the blank? To comment on this story you have seen on the Common Sense Show, please head over to our blank page. What page would that be? Whether you're Facebook. The answer's at the bottom. Send us a quick message on blank. From breaking news and entertainment to sports, politics, get the full story from our Twitter. 3, online shopping from Amazon brings their biggest selection of books, magazines, blah, 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 blah. Searching the world's information, including webs, images, videos, and more. Google has many special features to help you find exactly what you're looking for. 5, discover the innovative world of Apple. We have any kind of a communication device you could need or want, ranging from phones to TVs and everything else in between. My, oh my, oh my. I got more. I don't know if you can take it. I got more.
Froze.
Yep.
You're froze up.
I didn't mean to. Am I still frozen up? Could be on your end. Hey, Jared. Hey guys, listen. This is I'm going to shift gears now. Let's shift gears. Before the show came on, Larry was having a conversation with a couple guys here in the queue, and they were talking about love. God is love. And we're talking about the three types of love, which are agape, phileo, and
eros.
Eros, right? Agape. We're going to talk about that. Phileo is brotherly love, and eros is sexual love. Okay, those are the three different types of love. So God is love, right? Okay, God's love. Gotta love everybody. God so loved the world. God is love. Well, that's agape. love. What's agape? Well, Jared had already Googled this for us this morning. He says the Greek word agape is often translated love in the New Testament. How is agape love different from other types of love? Well, the essence of agape love is goodwill, benevolence, and willful delight in the object of love. Let me call time out. God so had goodwill towards the world that he gave his only begotten son. God had benevolence towards the world that he gave his only begotten son. God had a willful delight for the world that he sent his only begotten son. Unlike our English word love, agape is not used in the New Testament to refer to romantic or sexual love, nor does it refer to close friendship or brotherly love, for which the Greek word philia is used. Agape love involves, are you ready? Faithfulness, commitment, and an act of will. God was so faithful to the world that he sent his only begotten son. God was so committed to the world that he sent his only begotten son. God was so loved the world that he decided he would send his only begotten son. It is distinguished from other types of love by its lofty moral nature and strong character. Guys, you see the difference? We said that earlier on our show, that God has a general concern for the world. But he doesn't have that intimate phileo love with people that aren't his own. Bail me out, Larry. Bail me out. Somebody.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And people that throw the love scenario in my face as I'm speaking with them, and believe they do. They, you know, you can be just as calm as you want as you're talking to people, but they'll throw that love thing right back at you at fastball speed. But I just asked them. I said, okay. I says, great. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Go home, check it out, and come back, or give me a phone call and tell me which one. Is there one Bible verse in the Bible that says God currently, present tense, you know, grammar counts, that God currently loves everyone? You know, I hadn't got that phone call yet, and I've been throwing that out there for 25, 30 years.
So I most often get that puppy dog look. You know what I'm talking about? From people when I say, as I said the other day, oh, God doesn't love everybody. He doesn't love everybody. His love is available to everyone, but he doesn't love everybody. Now, if he does love everybody, it says that he loved the world and he had a general concern for the world. That's why he sent his only begotten son. But the only way that you become a child of God is you have to be adopted into his family. If you're not adopted into his family, God doesn't love you like he's one of your children, because you're not. You're not one of his children. So that made him really, really nervous, Jared. So I said, okay, do me a favor. We'll take you through a real quick Bible study, boys. You may want to write this down. You can use it in your next the next argument you get into. Jared, go to John 8:44. John 8:44. Now let me paint a picture here for you. Well, let's do it real quickly. How much time do we have? Yeah, I'll be able to. 8:44. Clear on down, Jared. Clear on down at the end. Clear on down at the end here. Let's start down about start right there, Jared. There'd be a good place to start. Start in verse 39. Verse 38. I gotta go down here because I gotta get you to see who he's speaking to. Go on down, Jared, one more. Go on down to 35. We have to get the context. Remember, context is important. Joe, I'm gonna do this because I normally have Joe read it, but we're gonna jump around, okay? One more, Jared. Okay, good, good. There we go. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, you get this now? The Jews believed on Jesus now. All right? The Jews believe on Jesus. And he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know that the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We use that a lot, don't we, out of context. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered him and says, what, Lord, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Why do you say that we're free? What will make us free? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he says, I know that you were Abraham's seed. Yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And I speak that which I have seen from my Father, and ye do that which you have seen from your Father. Don't miss this, Jesus. Let me read that again. Jesus said in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen from my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Two different daddies here. Two different daddies. And they answered and said, well, Jesus, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to him, oh, yeah, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham didn't do that, Jesus says. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have only one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Watch. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. Jesus clearly identifies two daddies here, boys. Two daddies. Hey, Larry, I thought we're all God's children. Well, somebody taught you wrong. I'm sorry. Somebody taught you wrong. Because Jesus is speaking to those Jews who believed in him, and he told them, you are of your father, the devil. Anybody want to comment on that? I'm not done. No? Go to Matthew 7. Hope you're taking notes. Matthew 7. Let's go to about verse 20, Jared. I find this interesting, by the way, that these words are written in red. What I just gave to you came from the mouth of the Lord himself when he said to Jews who were following their earthly heritage, your earthly heritage, he told them, is the devil. You are the devil's kid. In Genesis, I'll take you in Genesis here in a second. I'm in Matthew 7. I'm just going to start in verse 18. That'd be a good place. Just for no other reason than I want to start there. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Boys, cannot. Not won't, doesn't, cannot. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Republican Party will never bring forth good fruit. It can't. It's corrupted. The United States government cannot bring forth good fruit. Because it's corrupted. Homosexuality cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit, you shall know them. How do you recognize an apple tree? Got apples on it. How do you recognize a plum tree? Got plums on it. If you walk up to an apple tree and it's got plums on it, it ain't an apple tree. It's a plum tree. You'll know them by their fruits. You with me? Okay. Here we go. Buckle in. Because everybody sitting beside you at church ain't safe, boys and girls. You'll know them by their fruits. That's how. If you got somebody sitting by you in church who thinks gay marriage is okay, one of you's wrong. If you got somebody sitting beside you in church and they're Christians and they're pro-choice, think abortion's okay, you better look at that fruit. You better get out your monocle. You better get out your magnifying glass.
Hey, Coach.
Something seriously wrong. Yeah.
Does that mean if I walk up to a girl and she's got plums on her, it's actually a guy, right? It's actually a guy.
Yeah, well, you're being judgmental then when you inspect fruit. You're not supposed to do that. Now, here we go. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, girls and boys. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall I enter into my kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we taken care of the poor? Haven't we been inclusive and tolerant? Haven't we had open doors, open hearts, and open minds? Haven't we fed the needy on Christmas? Haven't we done all these wonderful things in your name? And when then will, Jesus says, written in red, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and blah, 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 blah. So the ones who hear his voice and do what he says, those are his kids. Those are his kids. You are going to church with a lot of people. Help me out here.
Well, two things.
Who have a different daddy than they're proclaiming. The exact same thing we saw the Jews said. The Jews said, our dad's Abraham. Jesus said, no, if it was Abraham, you wouldn't be doing this foolish stuff that you're doing. And we have people going to church say, I love the Lord and I serve the Lord. And the Lord says, if that was true, you wouldn't be doing this foolish stuff that you're doing. Just trying to make a comparison. Go, Larry.
Two things over your last few minutes. Number one is, you pointed out that what you've been covering was written in red and red letter editions. But I like to inform people and remind people that they know that the Bible was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
He is the Word.
So it don't matter whether the red letter or black letter, if it's in the Bible, it's the same authority no matter where you find it.
Yeah, Larry, but I'm saying that because there is a red letter Christianity movement out there.
Yeah, right? Well,
only the words of Jesus. That's why I pointed that out.
I don't cater to that Christianity, because if that's what they believe, then their whole learning process is flawed to begin with. And heaven forbid that I be the one to try to correct them.
Amen. Amen.
The other thing is that that scripture about many will come to me. A little bit earlier in chapter 7 of Matthew, I've said this before on this show, is where the many and few are compared. Many find the way, the broad way that leads to destruction, and few find the narrow way that leads to life. It's the same word for many later in chapter 7 of Matthew. And that word many doesn't mean a large number. It means a supermajority of a group. So Jesus told his disciples, the super majority of those people claiming I'm their Lord, I'm going to send them to hell.
Oh, man, Larry. What? Yeah, George, while you're coming in there, Jared, go to Romans 8 while George is jumping in there. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach, you know, this is really good. You know, something that has saved me a lot of heartache is no matter whether you like God, it could be your very favorite preacher or teacher, it's important to check things out, even what your favorite teacher is saying against the word. Something I've done, I have a commentary, I go online, it's free, it's Adam Clark's commentary, and I can't tell you how many things it saved me from falling into error on actually, so you interpret the teaching of the scripture correctly.
Amen, George. Because again, as we said a number of times, we are all prisoners to what the guy standing in the pulpit believes. We're all prisoners to that. All of us are. And God bless those guys. Let me get out of this. Romans 8:10. Let's go to Rome. Start in 8. Romans 8:10. How much time I got? Okay, good. I'll clean this up here at the end. Verse 9, Jared. Romans, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Huh? Oh, I got to get back into that teaching on the Holy Spirit. There it is again. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. If Christ is in you, your body is dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Meaning, he's not only going to quicken your body. You can listen. Your body's alive whether you are saved or not. He's not talking about the salvation of your body, the quickening of your body. He's talking about a Holy Spirit inside of you that is the central power source to everything that you do. Your body being quickened by the Spirit. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do kill the deeds of the body, you're going to live. Stay with me. Right? Hey, Larry. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So help me out here. If you're not led by the Spirit of God, are you the son of God? Very clear. It's very clear to me. You have the sons of God who are led by the Spirit and the ones who aren't led by the Spirit. He makes the same point for us here again. Hang on. Here's where I'm going. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, hey, daddy, adoption. So ask your friends, what does it mean in the natural world? What does it mean to be adopted? Well, I think when someone is adopted, it means they were born of a different set of parents. They had a different father. They may know who they are. You may not know who you are. Some of my friends have adopted children. They've had them from the time that they were born. They've raised them. As far as the world sees it, that is their mother and father. But they know that that is not the bloodline children. There are their adopted children, and they became their children. You have to be adopted into the family of God. That means you used to have a different dad. You had a different dad. And you got adopted into a new family where you are just as much his child as if it was, you were born just as much. But God, you got to understand this. If you're not adopted, you ain't in the family. If you have a different dad, you aren't in the family. And all of us can be adopted. All of us can. I can tell you a situation Michelle and I are going through right now. We're helping somebody financially. We're helping them, okay? We're helping them financially. And every time they text us with another problem that they have, they always identify to us as mom and dad. Now, what's the problem? Can somebody help me there? What's the problem? They just think we're their parents. We're not their parents. They just want to call us that. But we're not their parents. Now, we could become their parents. But there's a way that you become their parents. It is a legal process that takes place for me to adopt that family. I could do it, and then they become my family. But unless there is a legal adoption that takes place, they're not my kids. There's a lot of people sitting in your church, beside you in church. They've never been adopted. They chose it. They said, okay, I serve the Lord. But what did it tell us there in Luke? I never knew you. What do you mean I'm your dad? What are you talking about? I never knew you. Help me bring it home here, boys. Help me bring it home.
For a large part, it is not the fault of what I call the wannabes, the people
No.
who
Amen, Larry.
It is the fault of the leadership of whatever organizations and groups and activities or programs that are, quote, spreading the, quote, gospel. Because if the gospel isn't enough of the truth to make a person a child of God, Satan is just as happy as he is if he recruited somebody to be a demon in training.
So, Larry, don't miss this. These people that we're helping, they want to be in our family. They want to be, but they're not, because our formal adoption process has never taken place. And the people that you go to church with who have made their own decision that they would be adopted without going through the legal process of receiving Christ as their Savior and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they just think they're adopted. They just think they're in the family. But when they go and they stand before the great judgment court and they pull out the papers, there ain't any adoption papers. The books are open, it says in Revelation. The books are open because your name written in the adoption in the book of life. And I would say, Larry, you're the one that said it, a supermajority. Supermajority.
Hey, Coach, you just 30 seconds ago covered what the main problem in the false gospel is. And that is the false gospel is concentrating on Savior and not Lord. I've studied these scriptures, and somebody help me if I'm wrong. But in the scriptures, if you do not make Jesus Lord, he is not your Savior. He is only your Savior as they come together, Lord and Savior. You don't have to profess with your mouth Jesus as your Savior. You have to profess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. And if you don't understand what Lord is, you can't do that.
Jared, Genesis, real quick, Genesis 3. Didn't mean to ignore you there, Larry. We're all on the same page. Guys, you're getting equipped today to fight this fight. It's right in the Word. I don't care what your pastor says. It's right there in the Word. Broad and few. Broad and narrow. Many and few. It's right in the Word. Okay, in Genesis 3:15, I want you to see this. Verse 14. This is after, we're about out of time. This is after Eve is eating the apple. Start right there in 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that you've done? And the woman said, well, that daggone snake, he tricked me. And I ate it. Actually, the guile means more than trick. And the Lord said, oh, that's okay, Eve. Come on, I bet. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's okay. Come on, come on. And so then the Lord turned to the snake. He said, what'd you do to Eve? So let me tell you something, dude. Because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And he said, I'm going to tell you what else. I'm going to make one team out of you guys. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Hey, boys, what does a seed represent? Yeah, a future fruit, right?
Exactly.
So right there in Genesis, the Lord says, devil, you got kids? And Eve, you're going to have kids. And those two families, they're going to be in eternal conflict and an eternal fight. And we know this, that the kids that the disciples went to Jesus and complained about non-believers being in the church. They called them tares, wheat and tares. And what did Jesus say? Let them grow up together. Let them grow up together. We're going to separate it all at the end, Jesus said. But Jesus put the stamp of approval on the fact that there were non-believers sitting in church. And in many cases, running the church. Somebody say amen.
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 I got a quick one. Real quick one.
Wow.
Do it, brother.
Yep. Luke 2:14.
Luke 2:14. Jared's quick. Quit John McGraw over here. Luke 2:14.
Lightning.
In the King James, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But Coach, you weren't raised with that one. You were raised with this one. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men of goodwill.
One little twist of a word. One little twist of the word. Hey, listen, I didn't get nearly where I wanted to go today. But I'm, hey, we better start realizing who's on the team and who ain't on the team, because that's what this whole thing is coming down to here at the end. Not all those who call me Lord, Lord are in the family. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You got it, bro.